So if he doesn't want to cut something, they have to clean themselves up?
So water was used to ritually cleanse people. This is what we've been talking about a few times, where this uncleanness, remember this, you couldn't go into the temple to worship when you were unclean like this. Like if you had touched something that is unclean, you became unclean. And so part of the process of becoming ritually clean so you could come into the presence of God had to do with washing in water. So the consecrating of the priests and purifying to worship God. And Peggy, Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 2.
It's right in the center, right,
Sam? The Psalms are right in the center, yes.
51?
Just verse 2.
Just verse 2?
Yes.
Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin.
And you want to try to answer a question?
And the question is, what is baptism?
No. Question 186. In your workbook.
I'm on page 49.
You're on the wrong page.
186. Washing or immersion is an outward sign of what? To cleanse and be rid of sin.
Right. So we see another in the Old Testament usage of the washing in water, consecrating the priests, cleansing people from being unclean so they could worship God, and cleansing people from sin and iniquity.
When it says washing, like washing of water, are we to think that they're just washing with water or immersion?
That's a good question. That's a good question. In the priests, they had a big basin out in front, and I'm not sure what they did. In some places, it speaks of them having to wash their whole bodies, even shaving the hair off of their bodies and washing them. So I don't know. We're going to get to that about the sprinkling versus the immersion in a minute, though. So the point of reading these scriptures was to make everybody see that the idea of baptism is not a New Testament idea, that being washed with water in some form of drawing closer to God was something that is definitely in the Old Testament too. It's not just a Christian thing. It's not just a New Testament thing. So let's look at it now in the New Covenant. And we're up to Catherine, Matthew 3, verse 4 through 6.
Okay, and the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat were locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And why were people coming to
Yochanan? It's Hebrew for John.
For immersion, so that they can be confess their sins and be baptized.
So this is also a cleansing of sin, just like in Psalm 51. Now, again, I hope you can relate this back to the mezuzah and the tefillin. This is what John was doing was literally interpreting Psalm 51. You see that? Just like, you know, putting the thing on the doorpost of the house is literally interpreting the scripture. So everybody understood that they had to be repenting. Obviously, it was a matter of the heart, but as an outward sign to the community, to other people, they also went into the water and were immersed by John. So you see the similarity there.
So they weren't believers, though, when they...
Well, Yeshua had not even come on the scene. Yeah. That's actually the point here, what I was trying to make, was that immersion in the New Covenant actually precedes
before
the time of Yeshua. So they were doing it out of their own Jewish tradition.
Tradition, yeah.
Right, which also makes it more Jewish. Yeah, it's because Yeshua's going to come to him and said, immerse me too. So obviously he was doing it before.
It was before, yeah.
Right. Okay, Julia, read the next one.
Oh, you have Psalm 51:7. It says, hurt me with hyssop. What's hyssop?
Hyssop is a shrub. And when the blood was to be put on the doorposts of the house, or when it was to be sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant, the hyssop was dipped in the blood, and then it was like a paintbrush. So David in Psalm 51 is using the same imagery for himself. He's saying, you know, purge me with the hyssop, like sprinkle the blood on me.
And then it says, wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
Right.
Okay, John 1.
24 and 25.
And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then, if thou not be that Christ, nor Elijah, neither the prophet? Mm-hmm. Who recognized immersion as a Jewish practice? The Pharisees.
Good, yeah, because they didn't question that he shouldn't be immersing or anything. They just said, if you're immersing people, why are you doing it if you're not the Messiah? So the next question on there, David, you want to try that?
Whose survival was immersion associated with by the Jewish people?
It's based on that last verse. Right, so somehow they had an understanding that when the Messiah was going to come, or Elijah was going to come back, or the prophet, and remember the prophet is the one that Moses predicted. He said, someday God will raise up a prophet like me and you should listen to him, which is the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So the point here is that when they saw John baptizing, that made them think that the Messiah is coming, because they said, you know, why are you doing this if you're not the Messiah? So it was associated with the Messiah.
I just have final relative question to this. Is later on the Jesus was talking to them who you were looking for in the desert, and mm-hmm. so he was conferring to John the Baptist as Elijah. Is that
right.
Who he was? So
well, he says actually that John came in the spirit and power of Elijah.
Okay, and then when there's going to be two prophets, so one of them going to be Elijah again? Or?
Well, yeah, I believe that one will be Elijah because he never died.
And the other one is Moses, right?
Enoch. Moses,
okay.
I'm not sure which. Enoch never died either, right?
And when Jesus also said about, just a quick question like that, because I'm going to forget later. And when he said about that John the Baptist was the smallest in heaven, how do you interpret that?
That's a great question. Yeshua said about John, he was the least.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. He says he was the greatest of prophets,
because
he was the one that foretold his coming. And he said that whoever is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him.
Okay, yeah.
And I understand that as an amazing thing. Which he's saying is that John was the greatest of all the prophets in the Bible.
He was the last prophet.
He was the last prophet. And anyone who's born again, anybody who is truly in the kingdom of God, is greater than that because they've been born again, which is like, wow. It's pretty amazing,
yeah.
Right. It's almost like the message on Saturday with the Holy Spirit flowing out of you, right?
Yeah. That was good.
So, just pretty amazing.
Better promises.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Gabe, Acts 2:38.
Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
And the question? Why don't you try the question?
What did that concept right?
Yep, close.
Peter instructed the new Jewish believers in Yeshua to do. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Right. So here we have the Jewish apostle Peter, right? And this is to the Jewish people, and he's saying, be immersed in water, just like John did. And of course, there's a very other important. What's that?
He's saying in the name of Jesus, though, to do it now.
In the what?
He's saying now do it in the name of Jesus, though.
Right. And on the authority or in the name of Yeshua, right. And also there's an important point in there that he says, repent and be immersed. Okay, so from that we understand that one of the conditions for being immersed is you have to be able to repent. In other words, turn away from God. And this, of course, applies to infant baptism as showing that infant baptism is not a biblical thing, because how can an infant repent and be immersed? Larry, 191.
What does it mean to be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah unto forgiveness of your sins? Well, it means to be cleansed of your sins.
Right, and
to be
exactly.
New.
Yeah. And the being immersed on the authority of the Messiah or into the Messiah. This is kind of difficult language, but what it really means is that into his kingdom, into his family. It's the rite of passage into his family. It's an outer enactment of the cleansing that has happened inside. And question 192, I already answered. I didn't realize it was there.
Repent.
What is to happen? Repent. And Karen, what about 193? You want to try that one? What did Peter promise that they would receive? Well, let's see. Who read that verse? Why don't you read it again, Gabe? Are you open to it there?
You want me to read the whole verse?
Yeah, read 238 again.
Oh, then Peter said to them, Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So what was it?
The Holy Spirit's gift.
Yeah, so Peter was also connecting this with that this oftentimes the gift of the Holy Spirit, people are filled with the Holy Spirit when they are immersed in water.
This gift of the Holy Spirit, yes. Pentecostal comes, is it just water baptism?
No, it's being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I've immersed many people who have
come
up out of the water, and
they're filled
with the Spirit. Now, remember, we've talked about this here before. To get our minds off this thing that there's this event that happens in a person's life that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then that's the end of it. We've talked about how you have to be refilled. So every person pretty much that I've ever dunked, when they come up, they're filled with the Holy Spirit because, like, they're touched by the Spirit of God. You two guys were. I remember that. You know, it's now whether they've been filled before, that's another question. Might not have. Maybe that's the first time they've been filled.
Well, in 72, I was baptized at Evan speaking tongues.
Mm-hmm.
According to Acts chapter 10, then I the Holy Spirit drove me to call the pastor to be water baptized.
Okay.
So it was after.
Yeah, and the order in which they happen, we'll see in the book of Acts, mm-hmm. is any order. Sometimes people are filled with the Holy Spirit before being immersed in water. Sometimes it's after. It's either way.
But I have a question around with John. I was raised Catholic. We're mm-hmm. Catholic, and we were all baptized the first couple of months of our lives.
Right.
So, sacramental oil and the pitcher of water. But I spoke to a priest, and I spoke to my mother, and they said, you were baptized in Catholic faith, and if you get baptized in Messianic Judaism faith, then you've cut off your branch to that church. I mean, this is tough stuff, but
uh-huh.
I don't know what to say. And in this limbo. This
right,
Catholic
okay.
You say you're lost? Okay.
Well, no, it's just
let's go back and understand why the Catholic Church did that.
Okay.
And the reason was twofold. One was spiritual, was that they were afraid if the baby died, then they wouldn't go to heaven. Okay, so they baptized him right away. And a lot of babies did die young. you know, in those days.
Catholic Church first started.
What's that?
Catholic Church first started during the decline of Rome, so for the most part.
Right, so there were
plague was going around.
There were plagues and things like that. So that was one reason. The second reason is that after the Catholic Church became very powerful, to be a citizen in most countries of Europe, you had to be a Catholic. So people would have their babies baptized so that they would be citizens and they'd automatically be part, you know, part of the church. Now, whether it's scriptural, I don't see how you can justify it scripturally, because it's clear that to be immersed in water, for it to be meaningful, you have to repent and come to the Lord.
Except Yeshua.
Right.
The baby cannot do that enough.
Right. So Peggy, to you, you need to hear from the Lord about what to do, because if you're still associated with the Catholic Church.
Well, I'm not really.
That would be one. If you're not, then who cares, in a sense?
Well,
the family. The family might care. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. Just baptized three times.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to follow what's in here. Like, this is how I go. Like, I'm not going to be. Like, if I go to church and they tell me something, like, for instance, I went to the church and they tell me, like, you have to do this and that because it's there for this, and then I go back and I don't find it here, then I don't think I should be following that. That's my opinion about it.
The thing is hard, too, and then I'll drop my. I have two godchildren. They're both girls, and one was 2 pounds 4 ounces in an incubator when I went to Johnson Hospital, and now she's very successful in her early 20s. The other is in her 30s, my niece. So it's like when I took the responsibility of being a godparent, to make sure that their whole life they would be good Catholics.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm not Catholic, how can I be their godparent?
That's
so
a tough one.
At this point, they are good Catholics.
They're adults now.
No.
Before
36, they're not really.
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I feel like you have to be praying for them so they can be saved and they can be with the Lord. That's going to be your job.
Yes.
They
should be a good Christian or good Catholic.
Yeah.
Good
which is what I wanted to address. Something that you were told is like, if you're baptized in Messianic Judaism, you're not baptized in Messianic Judaism.
No,
you're baptized in the Lord, according to the Lord's way. That's what this is about, and it's not our tradition, because we're taking it directly from what the Bible says. And unfortunately, many denominations, if you were to you know, start attending a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church or whatever, and they would baptize you to the Lord, not to being a Baptist, you know, even though that's their name. that's not what it's all about. So I think that's a manipulative thing that they're doing to you, to say, if you do this, you're no longer, you know, you're no longer part of us. And
it's very confusing.
Right.
Yeah, they probably don't know what Messianic Judaism is all about. They probably think it's Judaism, but of course they'd probably not be happy if she would convert to Judaism.
Most amazing thing that I learned through this class, woman, that you opened my eyes when you said that this is what God predicted, the secret that been said that, like, Gentiles and Jewish people can come and worship together as one. And this, for me, is just amazing.
We're in this time.
And for the Catholic, what they do in saying, well, we're the only one, right, and you're going to be caught up and you're not going to be part of this. And which, like,
this way in Ukraine, there's a lot of Catholics and her neighbors, like best friends, moms, best friends.
This is what they're saying. And I told her so many times, like, I go on and talk to her, and she will say the same thing. I would want to die in my grandparents' faith that they were born in. She's not even thinking, like, about herself, like, how should I be saved? What should I do? They just, like, well, my grandfather wasn't this faith, so I should just follow this.
That's how
the
cookies are made, or
cakes. Yeah.
Right
now.
So let's move on, Peggy. We're going to pray for you later for you to be guided. And
talking about being in the spare ritual, just doing it and not having any.
Today in sharing our bread, yes, very much his message. What's that, Catherine?
I'll say this and then we can move on, because I was thinking about it. It just seems, as I observe Catholicism, there's no personal thing with the Lord. It's the institution of Catholicism. It's the rituals.
Yes.
It's the things that they do. So it's more the institution than the personage of Yeshua and your personal thing with Yeshua.
It's here.
Right.
Not there.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. You're on your page 48, and I need to do a little introduction to this, although we've seen this passage before, but what we've seen so far,
we didn't finish 194.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Is
yes.
Peter's instruction valid
yes.
for today?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I want you to see a pattern here. And the pattern is that it was immersion in the water was something that was in the Tanakh in the Old Testament that Moses commanded. It was something that David spoke about. And then before the time of Yeshua in Israel, they were doing it. And then when the first disciples started to preach the gospel, the good news, they told the Jewish people who started to believe in Yeshua, be immersed. So what we're seeing is here is Old Testament, Moses, Israel, even in the New Testament, it's Israel speaking to Israel. It's Peter, a Jew, speaking to Jews saying, be immersed. Then something dramatic happens in Acts chapter 10. And Acts chapter 10 is about 20 years after the time when Yeshua was crucified. And Peter has a vision that directs him very strongly to bring the good news to Gentiles.
Did you say 20 years after?
Yeah. And the other Messianic Jews were not sure that this is the right thing to do, and they went along with him. And many Messianic Jews believed that for a Gentile to become a follower of Yeshua, they had to convert to Judaism. They had to begin be circumcised and obey all the laws of Moses like Jewish people did. So there was this controversy. But Peter spoke to the Gentiles, and right there before their eyes as he preached, they believed him. And the same miracle happened as what happened on the day of Pentecost. They started speaking in strange languages and not even understanding what they were saying. And so then in Acts chapter 10, who are we up to in reading here? Larry?
No, are
you right? Larry, are you right? We're up to, back to Albert. Okay. Acts chapter 10, verses 45 through 48.
The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have."
And 48. Yeah.
So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
What issue were the Jewish believers struggling with?
Well, that was what I just yes. talked about. They were struggling with whether these Gentiles could just become followers of Yeshua just because they believed, or whether they had to convert and be circumcised. Circumcision was the big deal because that was something they figured nobody would want to do, and then follow all the laws of Moses. So why don't you try 196, Albert?
What was their conclusion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did they need to follow all the laws of Moses or not?
Gentiles?
Yeah.
No,
they didn't. Mm-hmm. Right. And John, I want to try the next question.
What was the first thing the Jewish believer told the new Gentile believers to do?
Be immersed, right. Now the reason that in question 196 they concluded that the Gentiles did not have to be circumcised and live as Jews was because they started speaking in tongues. So the speaking in tongues was the evidence that God had actually moved upon them and poured his spirit out upon them, just like it had happened in to Peter on the day of Pentecost. Everybody see what's happening there? So God used that as a sign. And it was a miracle. And they couldn't say, you know, well, wait a minute. I don't care if they believe, they need to now convert to Judaism, they need to take all these classes, they need to be circumcised, and they need to start living Orthodox, kosher, Jewish lifestyles. No. Instead, they started speaking in tongues, and the Jewish believers who were thinking they should become converted to Judaism were like totally defeated because this miracle had happened. And that was so important. Everybody see the importance of that? Because if that had not happened, the gospel would have not gone any further. Because they would have gone out with the gospel saying, oh, you can believe in Yeshua and be forgiven, but first you have to convert to Judaism and you have to follow all these rules and you have to be circumcised. Would have been totally different. The world would be totally different.
It would be the same religion everyone.
It would be, but not that many people would have. People wouldn't have done it.
It wouldn't be Catholicism.
No, it would still be. It would be Judaism.
It would be Judaism.
But very few people would be willing to be circumcised.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the thing that people are probably the least willing to do in the whole world.
Right.
The issue was whether Jewish, the Gentiles could become believers could follow Yeshua without becoming Jewish. Okay. So why, question 198, see, I'll throw this out to anybody, everybody. Well, 197, this is interesting from the perspective we're coming from about how immersion is a Jewish thing. The first thing these Jewish believers told the Gentiles to do was what? Be immersed. So you see who got what from who. Obviously, the Gentiles got it from the Jews. And then why? Who wants to take a crack at that one? Why did the first thing they say is be immersed? What was so important about being immersed?
Clean themselves?
Cleaning them, right. But what else? We mentioned it earlier.
To be cleansed. The Holy Spirit, receive the gift.
Receive the Spirit, yeah, but...
Enter the kingdom.
The baptism, the immersion, was the passage. It was the rite of entry. It was like if you came to this country from another country and you had to become a citizen, you got to go before the judge, you know, and pledge allegiance to the country. That's the ritual to become part of the country, right? You guys didn't do that because did you have to both do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So John and Albert both came as teenagers,
yeah.
Right? And so they had to study. And they had to go before a judge to become citizens. So in the same way, to become citizens of the kingdom of God, people have to be immersed. That's the key.
Makes sense.
And immersion has always been that. And we'll see a little bit later, actually a couple of questions later, we'll see how that played out. Okay, question 199, who are we up to?
John here.
No, we're up to
Peggy?
Yes.
Try question.
Okay. What does it mean to be immersed in the name of Yeshua the Messiah? It means that you are fully immersed in water,
mm-hmm.
and you enter the kingdom of God, and perhaps you receive the gift of tongues.
Okay, so you enter His kingdom, Yeshua's kingdom, right?
Yes.
And so when they use the term in the name, it means being immersed into His kingdom. That's pretty much how I understand it. Why? Before that, people were immersed by John, but they weren't immersed in the name of Yeshua. It's under, because when we say in the name, it means in the authority of Yeshua. So it's acknowledging His authority, which means you're putting yourself under His authority. Did everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's in the name is important. Okay, question 200. I'll throw this out to who can answer this. Why has the practice lost its Jewishness?
Because Christians started doing that.
Well, yeah, but Jewish people were doing it originally. But something happened that really made it be something that Jewish people are like, keep it away from me. Anybody know what it was?
Was it after the Rome fell, or you were asking after the Catholicism started?
Yes, after Catholicism started, yes.
Maybe because they were doing the kids?
The what?
They were doing the immersion of the kids?
No, not about children, no. What's that?
I can say I belong to a support group, and most of them are Jewish, and I said I was a godmother, I was going to a party for my godchild. She goes, what's that?
So they were ignorant
of
that.
It's a baptism, and she never heard the word.
Never heard the word baptism?
Yeah, because they say Christmas.
Okay. Okay, here's the answer to that question. During the Inquisition and times of forced conversion of Jews, it wasn't enough to just say, okay, I agree, I believe. Okay? You had to be baptized. So in Jewish way of thinking, baptism became the ritual that a person followed to stop being a Jew and becoming a Catholic. And so you find in Messianic Judaism, when a Jewish person comes to believe in the Lord, like their family is like, oh, that's weird, that's terrible, but go invite them to your immersion, like you just did, then they really freak out.
She doesn't know why, but she's freaked out. I'm sure she doesn't know the whole story why.
But it's passed down. It's passed down. This is the thing that Jewish people do when they become traitors, when they become, go over to the enemy.
That's the first question she asked them. So what? You're not Jewish anymore?
You're not Jewish anymore.
You just said you're not going to be a Jew.
So you can see what a huge lie that is, because that is not at all what it's about. The early followers of Yeshua were all still Jews, and what did they do? They were immersed, right? And yet, because of what happened during those times of forced conversion, people actually would commit suicide rather than be immersed in water. I remember reading a story about they took a group of young men, and they brought them to the edge of a river. It was like one of the armies brought them there, and they were going to baptize them all in the river. And some of the boys just were, you know, like so much against that they just went out into the water and drowned themselves, because rather than give in to what was being done there.
So they were being forced into something else other than Judaism.
They were being forced into Catholicism, right, yeah. And many times in history that was done.
So in the mind of Jewishness, we're not doing that because that's something they're forcing on us and doesn't have anything to do with
it. Right. And it particularly becomes an issue, like if you're immersing young people, like in Israel. I've read articles from Israel where a Messianic group will have a baptism and they'll send spies. The Orthodox anti-missionary groups will send spies to watch them. And if they're immersing anybody under the age of account of 18, like who's not an adult, then they'll accuse them of, you know, coercing children into becoming not Jewish anymore and becoming Christian. And they will accuse them before the courts even. They'll take them to court over this. Because in Israel, you're not allowed to proselytize a minor. You're not allowed to do that.
What would it mean? I don't know why it was so set in my skull, but when I was in the seventh grade and I was going to make my first Holy Communion, the nun said, don't forget you're Roman Catholics.
Uh-huh.
So that's where the Catholic started, is in Rome.
Right.
Where the Vatican is.
Right.
Where is in Italy, and then Israel is another part of the Middle East.
Right. I mean, that's such a thing. Like before I started reading the Bible, I thought Jesus was the son of Mary and Joseph Christ, that Christ was their last name, and they were from Rome. No, really? No, I didn't know they were from Israel.
So do they know that Jesus is Jewish? Catholic?
Well, I had a very mean man, so I...
Well, my wife was raised in a Protestant Sunday school, and she was, I remember when she started to really study the Bible, she asked the question, what is the city of David I learned about as a child? She had no idea. It was Jerusalem, a real city in Israel, a Jewish city. You know, the city of David is just like, you know. So there's so much that is lost, so much that, you know, false teaching out there. And so
the next question, 201.
Is immersion practiced today in traditional Judaism? Who knows?
No.
Yes.
No.
Ah, we have had yes and no. You remember my teaching, probably. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Yes. It's very much a part of Orthodox Judaism. Orthodox women go to the mikveh, which is the pool, and tevilah, immerse themselves every month at the end of their menstrual cycle. That's required. And Orthodox men, it's not required, but many of them go on Friday evening and immerse themselves in preparation for the Shabbat.
Do it every week then?
Yeah.
So is
the ancient mikveh baths around the old temple?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, right at the stairs.
Right, the stairs going down into them.
Right. Yeah. And the reason they're there is because you had to be immersed in water to be purified so you could go in and worship. So they had the immersion pools right at the entrance to the temple, so you didn't have any chance of becoming defiled. You just got immersed and you were clean and you went in. Okay.
Was it one of those pools like the man who was sick and he couldn't get in? Because
yes.
He
was,
so
yes,
was
that was in Jerusalem.
Yeah,
right.
Synagogue.
Right. So here's the ultimate irony. You ready? This is really ironic. If you, as a Gentile, were to decide to convert to Orthodox Judaism, you would go through a process of classes and study for several months. And when you finished all that and you were ready, guess what you would have to do to become Jewish?
Baptized. Immersed.
You have to be immersed in the mikveh. Baptized, right. Is that ironic? It's like, so in order for a Gentile to become a Jew, you have to be baptized. In order for a Jew to become a believer in Yeshua, they have to be baptized.
They're doing back what was done to the Jewish with the Catholicism, right?
Well, remember, immersion predates Catholicism. It was a Jewish practice, and it's that Jewish practice is still there in Orthodox Judaism. But if you talk to a lot of secular Jewish people or nominally synagogue attending Reform Jewish people, they don't even know that. They don't even know that the Orthodox get immersed in water.
There's a mikveh bath here
right, very much in use because there's a significant Orthodox community.
So there is one in like Batel Synagogue or wherever the synagogue.
I don't even know where it is. It's not necessarily in the synagogue, but
there is one. Have to be in the synagogue, right?
No.
Where is it located at?
I don't know.
Oh.
You should ask your friend. Elsa's friend got married to Italian, and she used to be a Catholic, and she converted.
She converted,
and that's how we know that.
So she
was doing this.
She had to go through that, right?
Yeah.
She was Catholic. She was from like her ancestors were from Italy. So
she got married to a Jewish guy. Converted to Judaism.
What type of
Orthodox.
Okay,
they don't follow.
Yeah,
so I think that's the ultimate irony. You know that the Jewish people are all like, oh, nobody should be baptized, and yet, if you want to become Jewish, you got to be baptized. It's the same thing. So,
but it's funny, like, many of them don't know about it.
Huh?
Like you said, many of them don't know about it.
Yes. Right. Right.
So they don't teach it, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's just a lot of ignorance. I mean, if you're an Orthodox Jewish person, you know this because your wife goes there if you're a man and you're a woman, you go there every week. You have to. But if you're Reformed, you probably don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Jewish people are either secular or Reformed in Rochester and or some conservative. Yeah. So that's irony. Okay. So let's look at Yeshua. We just got a few minutes left here. Yeshua and immersion. Let's look about what happened with him. Who are we up to? Catherine?
Yes.
Matthew 3:13-14. Ooh, there's lightning and thunder.
Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you're coming to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him.
Okay, you want to try the question?
Oh, I was asking. When did Yochanan say he ought to be immersed by Yeshua? Or why did he say that? he ought to be immersed by Yeshua instead of Yeshua being immersed by him. Why do you say that?
Because he knew that Yeshua was a God, I guess, huh? So.
Yeah, but let her give a chance.
Well, I don't know why.
Well,
I don't think it says in the verse really why.
What's that?
I don't see it either way.
Well, it's not necessarily in the verse. It's not in the verse.
I was thinking about it when I was reading.
He knew that Yeshua was the Christ.
He knew he was the Messiah. And he knew that Yeshua, John predicted that Yeshua would immerse people in the Holy Spirit. So, that's...
But why did he lay down and send his disciples to go and ask if you're the one who's supposed to come?
Because he wasn't sure. He had his,
so
he was human. He doubted too. Yeah, yeah. So, question 203 there. Julia, you want
to
try that?
What's the answer to 202?
He knew Yeshua was the Messiah. And that he would immerse people in the Spirit. Anybody leave their car windows open? Hope not. Oh, you'd be immersed. Okay, Julia, 203.
Okay. Why did Yeshua mean, or what did he mean by, because we should do everything righteousness requires?
Right, that's what he said, to fulfill all righteousness, or everything righteousness requires. That's the way this translation has it. So what did he mean by that?
To fulfill what God...
Exactly, to fulfill God's plan for him. Yes.
Because he had to go through the whole thing till the end.
Yes.
He had to do whatever the people, like regular people, were supposed to do.
He was fully human, so he had to do what people did. And there's a couple more reasons. Did you have another reason, Catherine?
No, I was just going to say, I remember you a while ago said, the Pharisees were always telling Yeshua that why was he saying that the Messiah he wasn't, but Yeshua did every single thing that he was supposed to do.
Right, right. Right. And I add to the answer to that question, it was God's plan for him, and also it was to be an example for us. So that's another reason. And the next one is actually given in the next verses as a sign to John. So David, if you could read verses 16 through 17 there, chapter 3. Battery run out?
No, I pushed the wrong button and I'm no longer in there.
Want to have somebody else read it?
As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and riding on him.
And 17.
And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I am well pleased."
So I think this was another reason so that John would see that. Because John actually saw that. He said, "I saw heaven open and the Spirit of God alight on him."
Only John saw it, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe other people saw it. Well, other people might have seen it too.
It doesn't say that.
Well, this is a spiritual seeing, not a physical seeing.
Maybe. I don't know. Might have been a real dove. Right? It says like a dove.
Like a dove.
Yeah. So he saw the Spirit of God somehow coming down upon him. And Gabe, how about question 204?
Oh, what phase of Yeshua's life was about to begin this time? Well, pretty much
launch his ministry.
Exactly. This was the turning point. This was the turning point from him being a carpenter to being the Messiah. So that's interesting for us because being immersed in water is like something that happens when people begin to serve God.
So we're following the same step as
yes,
did.
Yes. Begin to actually have a ministry. And actually, that's the next question. I'm sorry, I got a hold of it. What application does this passage have to our ministry or lifestyle in serving God? Immersion should be the first step toward that life of serving God. Okay, let's see. Gabe, well, you had the last question. Larry, Mark 16:16.
When Herod heard about it.
No, Mark 16:16.
Mark 16:16.
Really? I don't think so. Mark?
Mark 16:16.
Mark 16:16.
Yeah, I just don't think that Mark 16:16 says that.
It's not. It says
14. It mentions John as being the immerser.
Mark 16:16.
Yes.
Whoever trusts in his mercy
will be saved.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, question 206, Larry.
Why are Yeshua's followers to be immersed? To be saved?
Yeah, and it says it there. Whoever trusts and is immersed will be saved.
Yeah, but,
I think it's out of obedience. He just commands it. What has to happen before immersion? Well, it says you have to trust, which means trusting in the Messiah. And we also learned that you had to repent. And let's see. Let's finish up with this last one here. Everybody get those answers? What has to happen before immersion? You have to
repent,
trust,
and repent.
And repent.
I'm sorry, I had 6:16.
Yeah, I thought it had something backwards.
Yeah, my eyes were playing tricks.
So let's see. Karen, you don't want to read, right?
Where?
Matthew 28. You don't want to read that, or do you do want to read it?
Matthew 28.
Yeah.
Okay, Karen's going to read 28:19-20.
Therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age.
Okay, question 208.
What else has to be?
It's a tough one. And we're getting late, so let me answer it. What has to happen before immersion? You have to become a disciple. You have to want to become a disciple, and it's one of the first steps of becoming a disciple. But remember, being a disciple is a big thing. Being a disciple means being trained by the Lord himself, and usually through some other person, and being willing to be changed.
We've been serving the Lord, people have never been immersed your way.
If you've never been immersed here?
Well, the correct way. Cause I'm just
then you should be.
Because I was thinking, we do baby baptisms,
mm-hmm.
but how can I get them to understand that it's simply dedication? Because all they do is they go up there and they say the name of Father.
You're
Lord.
Talking about
my church. You know,
Methodist church? Or
yeah.
It would be an enormous task to change that doctrine in that church.
But just no, it's just what you call it, because it's.
It would be an enormous task to change it. Believe me.
It's all
you
they
wouldn't
just go up there. They ask you, "What will you name the child?"
Right.
And then they say, "He's baptized."
Right. Okay, let's just finish up with these last two questions. I think we sort of answered 209. What does it mean to be immersed into the reality of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? That's David Stern's way of saying it. Other translations say, in the name of. And we talked about it before. It's into, in his name, meaning it's in, according to his authority. So it's being immersed into his kingdom. And the last question that everybody should know, what is this passage in Matthew called? I heard somebody say it. Who said
it?
Great Commission. Right. What?
If you have the new King James Version, it says
it's got a little heading above there.
That's
what
it says. Every
yeah. Okay, so we're going to stop there.